Okay, so I am doing my recording again, the one that I just did, at 5, the time I say it was 5:41 this morning. I just did a recording and I listened to it and I wasn't happy with the beginning of it. It sounded like I play devil's advocate against myself sometimes with my own opinions. And until you really listen to how it sounds and make sure that that's actually what you wanted to say, it is what I wanted to say, but I feel like I should have not have paraphrased or spoken for something that I heard because I was thinking of King Scholer. And I watch King Scholer. He's a comedian that's on YouTube. And he's always clowning people for saying and doing dumb things. And I feel like what I was trying to articulate, I didn't mean to articulate it their way, but it did sound like coonery or buffoonery or just, it didn't sound right. So I'm going to play again was, but I'm going to play actually what was really said so that the full context of it is so that the full context of why I said what I said might make better sense, and then I'm going to listen to it again and see if it makes any sense. So I'm going to just play my original recording, and then I'm going to give the full context of it because I don't like what I said because it sounded I could see King Schuller making fun of me. Like, what? This is, he might say, this is why you're in the situation you're in now. What the hell are you talking about? So, all right, let me play it again. So, let me start. It took me a minute to start my recorder.
It's like 5:42 a.m. in the morning, and I was listening to Elon and Tucker's interview, and I said a lot of things out loud when I was listening to it. I don't know. From what I heard in that particular segment, I feel like Elon is my, I said he feels like my conversational soulmate. He kind of repeats a lot of things that I say in my recordings. And by no means am I saying that he's taking anything from me. I don't believe that. The more I listen to him, the more I like what he says. But there were some things that I said while I was listening to it.
Okay, so this is where
And there
I'm
was a
going to
section in there where
stop the recording.
Elon was commenting.
I'm going to stop the recording and play what he actually said before I say what I said, because what I said is what he said, but I don't like, I guess I wish it wasn't chimpanzees that he used his example of, so I'm going to just play it.
I came up with the name and the concept, and pushed had a number of dinners around the Bay Area with some of the people, the leading figures in AI, and I helped recruit the initial team. In fact, the Ilya Sutskever, who was really quite fundamental to the success of OpenAI, it was. I put a tremendous amount of effort into recruiting Ilya, and he changed his mind a few times. Ultimately, decided to go with OpenAI. But if he had not gone with OpenAI would not have succeeded. So I really put a lot of effort into creating this organization to serve as a counterweight to Google. And then I kind of took my eye off the ball, I guess, and they are now closed source, and they are obviously for profit, and they're closely allied with Microsoft. You know, in effect, Microsoft has a very strong say, if not directly controls OpenAI at this point. So you really have an OpenAI and Microsoft situation. And then at Google DeepMind are the two sort of heavyweights in this arena.
So it seems like the world needs a third option.
Yes. So I think I will create a third option, although it's starting very late in the game, of course.
Can it be done?
I don't know. I think it's, we'll see. It's definitely starting late. But I'll try to create a third option. And that third option hopefully does more good than harm. Like the intention with OpenAI was obviously to do good, but it's not clear whether it's actually doing good or whether it's, I can't tell at this point, except that I'm worried about the fact that it's being trained to be politically correct, which is simply another way of being untruthful, saying untruthful things.
Yes.
So that's a bad sign. And there's certainly a path to AI dystopia is to train an AI to be deceptive. So I'm going to start something which you could call TruthGPT or a maximum truth-seeking AI that tries to understand the nature of the universe. And I think this might be the best path to safety in the sense that an AI that cares about understanding the universe, it is unlikely to annihilate humans because we are an interesting part of the universe. Hopefully, they would think that. I think, humanity could decide to hunt down all the chimpanzees and kill them, but we don't. Because we're actually glad that they exist.
Yes.
And we aspire to protect their habitats, and that's, so I think...
But we feel that way because we have souls, and that makes us sentimental and reflective. It gives us a moral sense, longings. Can a machine ever have those things? Can a machine be sentimental? Can it appreciate beauty?
Well, I mean, we're getting into some, philosophical areas that are hard to resolve. I take somewhat of a scientific view of things, which is that we might have a soul or we might not have a soul. I don't know. It feels like I feel like I've got some sort of consciousness that exists on a plane that is not the one we observe.
Yes.
That is certainly how I feel, but it could be an illusion. I don't know. But for AI, in terms of understanding beauty, it's just so much more appreciating beauty and being able to create incredibly beautiful art.
Yes.
Will AI be able to create incredibly beautiful art? It already does.
Yes.
And if you see some of the Midjourney,
I have
this stuff. It's incredible.
It is.
No question that it can create art that we perceive as.
Okay, so then he like moves on. So now I'll play what I said. Continue with what I said. Now that I gave the full context of that conversation, because I tried to paraphrase it and then I gave my idea I answered that question for Elon, but I didn't like the example I used and it sounded like coonery. And I felt like if someone overheard my recording, like someone like King Schuller, he might say, "The girl, that's why you're in the situation you're in now." So I'm going to play my answer to Tucker's question to Elon, okay, after the paraphrasing.
The critical importance of humanity and who we are as superior beings, as thinking beings, and he was talking about the part, he was talking about how, as humans, how we appreciate other species. I mean, he's one, it's like the chimpanzee. He was saying how, you know, we want to save them and keep them alive. We don't want to destroy, we appreciate. So then the question from Tucker was, is AI capable of that? And so my response, I kind of like answered for Elon. And I was just, I said, it can be programmed, a value system, meaning they can, you can program the value or the need for response and feedback and the acknowledgement and a void. So I was just like, and in that way, it kind of emulates consciousness, or it emulates not empathy, but consideration. There were, I forget what the what Tucker asked him about that. Like, after he used the example of how humans want to preserve not just humanity, but the survival of other species, that we're empathetic, that we care, that we consider, that we have consciousness. Tucker, because they were talking about like Terminator, like AI, what AI is capable of doing, how it can manipulate, how it can deceive, how it will think, it will eventually be smarter than us, and what will make it not want to annihilate us. And so, like, that was the whole point of it. And so my thing was, you can program a value system where it's embedded in them, where they value response and they acknowledge void, or they won't annihilate you, because their value system has been programmed where they require and need your response, and without you being there, they will have void. So in some way, there's some sort of codependence on AI, that AI can't exist without feedback. So I don't know. I like that kind of stuff. Like, my brain thinks like that. So it's kind of like, Elon didn't quite answer it that way, but I did. I answered it for him. And there was something else. Oh, the other thing was, he was talking about social media. And so the other idea that I came up with was for myself. I was just like, you can create AI image bots for social media. Like, I'm probably one that would need it, because I, you know, like Elon was saying, you know, you should really use social media to tweet out your best, right? But a lot of times people like me, because of the situation I'm in with this implant in my body, I use social media to vent and to tell. And a lot of people use social media to clap back, vent, and to tell. But if they had like an AI bot, or like an AI imaging bot that maybe they paid for, that would basically give them feedback and response as far as what their tweets are. Like, if they're about to tweet something, now it could ask them, are you sure you want to do this? Because this is not the image guidelines or parameters that you set up for yourself. Like, a lot of times rich people, they hire social media companies to monitor and to tweet and to send out social medias that give them the best image. You can get AI bots to do that. You can design AI bots that the average person could pay for to guide them. I was like, maybe I should get it for free, because I came up with the idea. But I was like, I might find that useful, because maybe it might say, we're going to keep this one, classify this one here, or maybe change the wording of it so you don't look so much like a buffoon, or you're not putting out something that just seems ridiculous, or you know, something that doesn't give your best reflection. I personally use my social media to kind of like warn, to bring attention to, make light of. And even if it makes me look bad, I don't care, because I feel like I'm in a situation where I have a lot of haters that keep coming for me, because I do have biotech in my body, and they're coveting my radioactive cell tissue, and then they're also stealing my words and my ideas and my designs that I do privately, that I don't post publicly. And then most of the times my tweets or my social media is me venting like a call for help because of all the other shit that I have to deal with this biotech in my body. Like even yesterday, like how do you get digitally raped standing up and having a full conversation with someone? It's happened to me before. Like one time I was at Walmart in Fox Chapel. I was in Walmart in Fox Chapel, and I was in the wiring section, and I was getting digitally raped while I was standing in the Walmart in the wiring section, and I did a recording about it. It happened to me yesterday. Like, I was in full conversation with multiple people, and I was getting digitally raped, fully dressed, like, under camera. I was under the camera. I didn't react, respond. I didn't, there was nothing. Like I said, I'm Lucy. I'm no longer at 90%. I'm like literally at 100%. The whole time I was sitting here listening to Elon, I got stabbed in my foot, stabbed in my chest, stabbed in my head. No reaction, no response. I feel everything. And I feel like someone's always testing or trying to see if there's some nerve that they can push or stab or punch or twist or to get a reaction out of me. And honestly, I don't really have reaction unless I want to have a reaction. I feel everything though. And I didn't even do the recording yesterday because I was so demoralized by it. I was so kind of felt like someone took advantage of me. But my only reprieve, the only way I was able to save face, and really I'm not saving face, but it's like halfway saving face, is that I don't respond to it. You wouldn't even know that it's happening to me unless I said something. There's no bodily response. There's no, yesterday there was no conversational response, no nothing, because the situation that was in front of me was much more critical, much more dire, much more sensitive than what my body was actually experiencing. I actually, the only thing I did say is when I got like dinged in the back of my head twice, and that was like after everything that I had just gone through, I got dinged twice in the back of my head, and I did say something about that. I was just like, because it was like so profound or prevalent or whatever, it was so jarring. The bottom line is I made a comment about that, and that was it. But I kind of put my ideas, the things, the good ideas that I have, and mix it in with all the bad stuff that happens to me. It's to give me credibility. It's kind of like saying that I am a forward thinker. I know that I am innovative, creative, and smart. But yet, I still am being dragged to the lower parts of humanity by some of the attacks that are inflicted on me by biotech, because I have a bunch of haters literally coveting my radioactive cell tissue and then stealing my words all at the same time. They hacked my phone. They stole my ideas, my recordings, my words, and they make them their own. And then I get attacked in public, and then what you see on camera is, you know, it's not reflective of my deeper, more thoughtful, forward-thinking, intelligent words of my manuscript that has been hacked and stolen, and even my recordings. I prefer to think like this. It seems more exciting. It seems more positive. It seems more forward-thinking. But it's hard to stay in this realm and think forward and think positively and talk and have a sane conversation about good ideas when someone is constantly using biotechnology that was snuck in my body during a hysterectomy by Dr. Frederick B. Price to physically attack me, to try to bring me low with the way that I get attacked. So I'm trying to think, is there anything else that I wanted to say? I said some other stuff in there, but I think those were the two main ideas. So I'll end it.